Every summer, Hollywood churns out a slew of big-budget movies. This season's lineup is chock-a-block with remakes. Around the World in 80 Days, The Manchurian Candidate, and The Stepford Wives, which opens this Friday.
These women are like deranged flight attendants. This place does something to people. All of the women are always smiling and having incredible sex in the middle of the day with their husbands.
And that's a problem because...
It's not normal, Walter.
Is it normal to remake so many movies? Are there pictures you'd like to see done right, or others that you'd prefer Hollywood would leave alone? Has there ever been a remake better than the original? Give us a call, the number 800-989-8255, or send us an email, totn@npr.org. Joining us to discuss Hollywood remakes past and present is one-time screenwriter Peter Sagal, who's now engaged in honest work as the host of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He joins us from our bureau in Chicago. Nice to have you back on the program, Peter.
Oh, Neil, I always look forward to these meetings.
What's driving this new batch of remakes?
My guess is fear and money. Now, keep in mind that I haven't been involved in Hollywood much, but when I was involved with Hollywood, it occurred to me that the business of producing movies is most like buying lottery tickets for a living.
How so?
Well, nobody has any idea what movies will, let alone make money, but will even get made. So the producers are running around and they're trying to attach themselves to projects that they hope, based on some weird coincidence or act of fortune, will become a film and they'll make money. And you have no idea what it's going to be, again, like buying lottery tickets. And much like there are people out there buying lottery tickets with numbers that have won in the past, that, I think, is the thing that most propels it. That if we can just, you know, people liked this, you know, and it gets kind of weird, too. I mean, for example, people remade recently Willard.
Yeah.
Willard?
Willard, yeah. And there was a sequel to Willard, Ben.
Yes, I know. Well, then that's a whole other issue. With sequels, we all know, well, they liked it the first time, they'll like the sequel. But remakes, I think, are a little odder. The other thing that I think is propelling this wave of remakes, and there's more coming up, by the way, in addition to the ones you mentioned, just a casual check of the IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, we're going to be seeing, in addition to The Manchurian Candidate, The Stepford Wives, Around the World in 80 Days, we're going to see a remake of the old TV series Thunderbirds with Ben Kingsley. We're going to see a remake of The Flight
Wait
of
a
the
minute. Wait, Ben Kingsley is playing a puppet.
Well, no, it's live action, although I think they are going to have strings coming out of their heads, and the heads will be much larger than the torsos, just for veracity's sake.
I'm sorry, I have to refer to him as Sir Ben.
Go ahead. Sir Ben will be in the Thunderbirds. They're remaking the old Vincent Price horror movie, House of Wax. And this is my favorite, I think. They're remaking Porky's, Neil.
The first one wasn't brilliant enough?
Well, they want to go back, and they want to do, you know, the naked women in CGI. That's all I can figure out. I think... The one thing you have to understand is Hollywood, if you look at the birth dates, again, if you go to IMDb, you'll see that the people making the movies were born in the 60s and 70s. They're my generation. And we grew up essentially spending all our time watching movies and television.
Mm-hmm.
So in a weird way, we're revisiting and improving our childhood. Remakes are what my generation has instead of autobiography. And I also think that there's a little bit, if you will, of anger pursuing this. And this gets a little strange, but stay with me for a second. There's a great story about David Cronenberg, who remade The Fly back in the 80s. And he was asked why he wanted to make the movie, and he told this story. He said that when he was a kid, he went to see the original back in 1956, I think it was. And there was one of these promotional signs in the lobby. It said, if anybody can prove that the events of this film are not scientifically possible, this film studio will pay you $500, whatever it was. So Cronenberg walks out of the movie, he goes up to an usher and he says, well, it's utterly impossible because, you see, the guy he swaps heads with a fly, but his head is a big fly head. Where does all the extra atoms come from to make his enormous fly head when a real fly head is a tiny thing? And the usher says to Cronenberg, get away from me. Get out of here.
Get out of here, kid.
And Cronenberg was so angry that he went and remade the movie in a more scientifically viable way 25 years later.
Nobody says, help me.
Which is, in my view, a loss, but, you know, that's just my taste. So when I think about someone like Tim Burton, say, who is remaking Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, he doesn't, like, think of this movie and go, oh, well, Willy Wonka, Gene Wilder's performance, that was terrific. How could you top that? Why don't we just leave that on the shelf? I think he thinks about that movie and says, you know, that liquid chocolate in the chocolate scene room that Augustus Gloop falls into, that clearly wasn't actual chocolate. It was just dirty water. I'm going to make it, and I'm going to make it better. I'm going to make it actually viscous. And none of this, these little people playing the Oompa Loompas with pancake orange makeup. No, it's all going to be, you know, animatronics. And, you know, I think in a weird way, they're trying to go back and perfect their childhoods.
Peter Sagal is the host of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get some callers involved in the conversation. David is with us from Minneapolis.
Hi. My favorite remake, I'm kind of torn between the original and the remake. They're just as wonderful every time I watch them. It's about a Shakespearean company and Nazi-occupied Poland.
To Have and Have Not.
No.
To Be or Not To Be. Be or Not To Be. Well, one of those things, yeah.
Mel Brooks and Jack Benny. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yes.
And the other, and what would I like to see as a remake is MGM's The Big Parade.
I don't know that movie. What is that movie about?
Is that
the
one of those?
Silent movie. It was the biggest blockbuster MGM ever made until Gone with the Wind. It's a, it's their version of World War One.
Yes, it's the and star-studded version of World War One.
Right, it's an incredible film, and it would just be. It's one of those things you'd love to see somebody like Edward Norton take the role of a young man, you know, going into World War One and then coming back without a leg and trying to find his sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, David.
But, I mean, I think sequels. And then he asked a bit the best remake, Maltese Falcon.
Oh. Interesting point. The Maltese Falcon was remade about three times, and it was the third version that got it right.
Ah, okay. I'll accept that, David. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Todd Downing says, the Ocean's 11 remake was definitely better than the original. I was amazed how painfully boring the original was. I like Richard Conte in the original, I have to say.
Well, Ocean's 11, Neil, was the perfect candidate for a remake, because on the one hand, it was a well-known movie. Everybody knows about Ocean's 11 because of the stories about the production with the Rat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody actually saw or really liked the original, so you didn't have that standard to judge it against. It was a perfect opportunity.
Here's Steve, who's with us from Venetia, California.
I would just love to see a remake of A Fish Called Wanda with all of the same actors playing different parts. But I'm just putting that out there.
I see.
Have a good one.
Only one part for Jamie Lee Curtis, but we could be creative, I suppose.
Well, with the whole connection between the two fellows, and yeah, it could work out.
Okay.
Those guys can figure out anything.
I bet someone has thought of it. Everything. This I guarantee you, Neil. Everything has at least been considered for a remake. I bet that somewhere on a shelf in Hollywood there is a script for a remake of like the 1980s movie Ice Pirates with like Ashton Kutcher slated for the Rob Lowe role, except Rob Lowe will appear in the cameo for irony's sake. I mean, they've got everything set up. It's just a question of who's going to get drunk and green light what.
Here's a couple of emails. Jennifer in Portland, Oregon says, I think many films should not be remade. You can't improve on perfection. The ones that come to my mind are the John Hughes movies from the 80s and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I'd cringe if I saw today's teens in a remake of any of those classics. Okay. And when, asks Dave Moore in North Carolina, when will Hollywood start to remake sequels? How about Jaws 2, the remake?
How about why don't we have Jaws 3D remade in 4D?
Ooh.
Ooh. So there's like a tesseract in the middle.
NPR's Peter Sagal, we're going to leave us with that thought and see if we can survive the night.
Neil, do your best. And I guess as they say in the other show out of Chicago, we'll see you at the movies.
Peter Sagal is the host of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He joins us from our bureau in Chicago. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.